Lou Rivers lives in Kansas City's historic Northeast, near Northeast High School. He'll turn 14 in August. Alex Kimball goes to Truman High, where he plays all kinds of sports. Football, track, wrestling. Both are spending their summer getting their hands dirty on a farm near Grandview through jobs with Boys Grow. I'm Gina Kaufman. Today on Central Standard, we'll get to know Lou and Alex. We'll hear about their experiences with Boys Grow, and we might even get a taste of the avocado hot sauce they're preparing to release next week. Plus, we'll hear how the recent purchase of a plot of land might be a game changer for the organization. That's coming up right after this news. Good morning and welcome to Central Standard. I'm Gina Kaufman, and today we're going to meet some local boys who are learning about agriculture, the culinary arts, and entrepreneurship through a program called Boys Grow. Let's go ahead and say hello to our young guests right off the bat. First, we've got Lou Rivers. Hi, Lou.
Hey.
How old are you?
I'm 13.
And how long have you been involved with Boys Grow?
I've been involved with Boys Grow for 2 years.
What's your favorite thing about it so far?
Just knowing how to just do farming and just knowing how to just watch something grow over time after you've planted it.
That's really cool. And Lou, you're already a pretty entrepreneurial guy. I hear that you have a lawn care business on the side.
Yeah, I do.
Tell us about it.
Well, it's just one day I was just outside just messing around with my friends, and we were just walking around, and then my friend was like, oh, I got to go take care of some business. I was like, what are you doing? And he was cutting grass at the time, and he said I was cutting grass. And so when he was cutting grass, I was like, oh, that's cool. So I was just working my way up, just saving up money that I had and stuff. And then I talked to my mom about it, and she said, yeah, that sounds fine. But then I talked to my uncle, and he got me a lawnmower for free. And so I went out and cut grass just like him, and we were just having a good time.
Do you still cut grass, or does your time with Boys Grow, do you do it all at the same time?
Yeah, I do sometimes go out, and then I have like my friends and stuff come with me, or I have them go out and cut lawns for me.
So Lou is very busy. I'm getting that feeling. But also here with me is Alex Kimball. And Alex, I get the impression that you might be a little bit older than Lou. Is that right?
Yes, it is. I'm 14 years old.
And where do you go to school?
I go to Truman High School.
What kinds of activities do you like to do when you're not working at Boys Grow?
I play a lot of football. I free run a lot. I like to run. I run track, and I do wrestling and basketball.
You're both so busy, I can't even believe it. Well, we're going to hear more from Alex and Lou in a little while, but I'd like to turn now to John Gordon Jr. He's the founder of Boys Grow. John, hello. Tell us more about your organization.
Yeah, thanks for having us on.
Thanks for being here.
We appreciate it. So we are Boys Grow, as the young men have been talking about. And we were founded in 2010, and we're a local nonprofit that uses farming and agriculture to teach entrepreneurism to urban youth.
So specifically, why agriculture? What is it about agriculture? You could have chosen any number of areas to teach skills of entrepreneurship to young boys?
Yeah, there's a lot of reasons. The easiest one is that I enjoyed it. So trying to role model for the guys, do something you like. So I enjoy farming. I like being outside and growing stuff and eating what you grow. So I enjoy that. And then aside from that, there's a lot of reasons. And one of them is that Lou mentioned is the kind of the patience and the integrity and the commitment of what it takes to actually put something in the ground. And then all the discipline and the structure and the hard work that it takes to actually take care of it and nurture it. And then once you get it, what are you going to do with it?
The other piece of the name of your organization is Boys. And I'm curious, why boys in particular? Why not all kids? Is there something special about that boys you felt needed through this kind of experience?
Yeah, I was working in a for a county in Northern California, and And just kept on hearing a bunch of stats about how our young guys are really struggling for high school graduation rates, college graduation rates, et cetera, et cetera. And, you know, part of it might be due with the family dynamic. And so that's kind of where the idea of a brotherhood and a mentorship came, where it was kind of a men teaching young men kind of how to be men.
Oh, so the idea of brothership, do you see yourself kind of as an older brother?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I'm boss first and foremost, so let's not get that wrong, Lou. But, you know, brother, friends, maybe, I don't know.
Well, let's go back to the beginning. When you first got this idea, how did it crystallize? Like, what set the scene for me? You come up with this idea. I mean, you've just hearing these stories, there has to be something more that triggered this.
Yeah, so the kind of origins and the history of Boys Grow is very similar to starting any sort of small business. And I we tell the story to the boys all the time, and because we, you know, have a hope or an expectation that they're going to start their own businesses or and be involved in some sort of entrepreneurship as they grow older. And it started in, like I mentioned, I was working in a county in Northern California, and just had the idea of a farming community for kind of 13 to 16 year old kind of young men, and moved back to Missouri. My mom got sick and moved back to Missouri. And then about 2 years later, just kind of was at a crossroads and a point in my life where I was like, you know what, if we're going to do it, it's time to do it now. So spent about 2 months putting together a business plan on kind of what the program would look like. And because even though it's a nonprofit, there's so many elements that are very similar to just launching any business, sustainability, marketing, all that stuff that comes along to marketing an actual business. So put the business plan together and kind of shopped it around, and we got enough money to get up off the ground, and we've been growing since.
So you used to, until very recently, you used to operate on borrowed land. How did that work?
You know, it worked great. I mean, well, okay, it didn't work that great, but at times it worked really, really well. But as a startup, you know, it was because that first year, 2010, we had everything lined up. We had the boys hired. We had the staff hired. We bought a short bus. We had everything ready to go, but we didn't really have the farm plot. And kind of stuff that Lou mentioned about growing stuff. And part of that, I think he also likes, is being a little bit of that kind of that country charm and having a little bit of that country life. And so we had a lot of abandoned soccer fields and all kind of places that within the city limits that people wanted us to use. And just the backbone of the program right away was always like, let's get these guys out and let's go out to the country.
Why do you think that's important?
Well, you know, I can pull from my personal experience and having that opportunity to be out there without the radio on, without your phone on, and you're just kind of out in the sticks per se, just kind of enjoying country life.
Tell us more about when you say your own experience. What do you mean by that?
Well, I grew up in the city, but you know, I would go hunting and fishing and stuff. And there's just something very unique about sitting out in the woods for an extended period of time.
Well, I want to turn to the guys here because you've mentioned what it's like to get out of the city. And I wonder what that experience is like for them. Alex, let's start with you. Generations ago, there were people on farms who were dreaming of getting to the city so that they could pursue opportunities. And those people, you know, I imagine them sitting there wondering, really, kids in the city want the opportunity to go to the country?
I really had the opportunity to go to the country with this job because I was always a city boy. I was always in the city. I was with my friends all the time. I never knew what the country life was because I was always in the city. I've never been to the countryside before. So this opportunity right here, I found out that the country is super different than the city.
What's different about it for you?
You have to grow everything. You don't really go to stores too much because the local market is like at least a mile away. So you grow a lot of things. In the city, it's just right there. You don't need to grow anything unless you want to. You could have that patch of field to grow your plants or anything. If you're in the country, you have 10 acres, 20 acres and beyond to plant more seeds and fruits and vegetables and things like that.
Lou, what about you?
Well, I had an opportunity to just go out into the country, and because my uncle lives down there, so I was down there, and every summer I used to go down there and help him with his cows and his animals that he had down there. And then, because he's older, and so I had to help him, and we got to actually harvest our stuff, and then we ate it. We eat it, and then we just have a time that's just out there in the country, and it's just there, and we're just seeing how it's life.
How does life feel different in the country than in the city to you?
Well, there's animals that you wouldn't see in the in the city. And
like what?
Cows and pigs and horses and just bulls and goats, I can name a variety. Goats.
Well, I'm going to turn back to John Gordon Jr. and talk to you a little bit about you've recently purchased a plot of land, and now you're doing this on your own land that will be yours, dedicated for the years to come. Tell us the story, first of all, of the decision to pursue that.
Mm-hmm. So the first 3 years, we were on a donated plot, and it was excellent. It was 2 to 3 acres. It was a gentleman at 94th and Parallel, had the acreage, let us use it. Super generous of him. The kind of catch was is that we couldn't put anything on there, and we really couldn't invest in our soil and start taking steps towards being organic. And then we had to move everything out in the fall and then recreate it every spring. So it was difficult. For the first year or two, it was doable. But as the program was growing and the idea started circumventing on what we really wanted to do, we realized we're going to need to have our own permanent land. So for 2 years, we searched for that donated plot. And, you know, KC's a generous city, but what we were looking for was a big ask. So we didn't quite get exactly what we were looking for. So last year, we did two capital campaigns. Raised some good money. We did a neighborly campaign, which is like a local Kickstarter, and then we had a fundraiser at Lydia's Restaurant in Kansas City. We raised good money, but we were short of kind of what we needed to outright purchase something. So as a business decision, we were, okay, do we take on some sort of mortgage? Or, you know, we're trying to figure out what to do. And we had the opportunity to sit down with Cargill. They're based out of Minnesota, but they have a local branch here in Kansas City also. So we sat down with them, and we just kind of told them, like, hey, this is what we're looking for. Like, we've raised this amount. We kind of found the dream property.
So you had already found the specific property.
We did, yeah, we did. Because it was a really, really hard search. For 2 years, we were searching. Even without the money, we were still looking.
Why was what you were looking for so difficult to find?
Well, it's the essence of what the boys were talking about. So we needed to get outside the city, but we needed to be close to the city because we pick all the boys up on the west side every morning. So we're not trying to drive 45 minutes an hour to get to work. So it had to be within 25 minutes of drive time from downtown. But we needed at least 10 acres to really kind of do what we want to do as far as the growing capacity. And then ideally some sort of structures on site so we didn't have to kind of recreate everything. So we found all that and more.
And so where exactly is the land?
The land is at 71 Highway and 150 pretty much.
How big is it?
10 acres.
And how's the soil? Will that be a determining factor in figuring out which crops you'll grow and the future products the boys will develop?
Yeah, the soil's great. It was equestrian before, so there was horses on there that were doing their thing, so to speak. So we appreciate that. And then we'll build the soil up as we go. It's ours now, so it's ours to take care of. It's ours to nurture. It's ours to grow.
If you're just tuning in, you're listening to Central Standard on KCUR 89.3 FM. I'm Gina Kaufman sitting here. I've been just talking with John Gordon Jr. We've also got a couple of boys in the studio who participate in Boys Grow, a local organization that takes urban youth and teaches them about farming and agriculture on this new plot of land that the organization has purchased. I know you've just raised all this money, and it's really exciting to have your own land, and we'll talk about what's exciting about it in a second. But early in your first season on your own land, are you realizing that there might be a perk or two in not being just the ultimate responsible party for this plot of land, or is everything about it awesome?
Well, we are the ultimate responsible party. So
right, now you are.
Yeah, yeah. So it is ours. Yeah, I mean, like anything, you know, you rent a car, it's one thing. You own a car, it's a whole other thing. So there's all kinds of different responsibilities that come upon us, but luckily we guys like Lou and Alex that just want to work 24/7.
I've read that some of the things you hope to put in place once you got your own land were greenhouses, solar panels, a kitchen, a wood shop. Any of those projects coming along?
Yeah, yeah. I'll let Lou touch on the wood shop that we're looking to expand on, and then Alex can touch on the culinary side in a second. But the greenhouses will hopefully come. You know, we got the keys May 5th, and we've already planted over 4 acres of crops and redid. Lou worked on. He's on the construction team, so he redid the office. They put tile floor in the office. So we've had a lot of projects going, and you know, for only being there for 8 weeks, we've done a lot.
So Lou, tell me about the wood shop.
The wood shop is coming along. We're just starting, and because we were getting stuff done for the kitchen, and we were helping out for the field, and just helping out with other places that we had on the farm, because they were not so much damaged, but they needed more work on them. So we redid them, and we just had fun doing it while just doing something that is actually work.
So explain exactly what you were doing.
We were putting down tile. We were fixing cabinets and doors and taking out the flooring to put the tile. And we were doing lots of stuff like that.
Have you ever worked in a wood shop before?
Yes, I have. I'm taking wood shop classes now.
At school?
No, it's at this local place called Halo.
You are really busy.
I am.
And Alex, you were going to tell us about, was it how the kitchen is coming along?
Yes, the kitchen is coming along very well. The construction team came and helped us out. They built the kitchen, and the culinary crew has been cooking there for now on. We were using the grill. We were using it outside before the kitchen was done there. The construction team was building it while we were cooking, and they got it done about 2 or 3 weeks later, and we got the kitchen done, and we started cooking there, and we had an oven, we have a stove, and we have everything that we can cook with.
How did you participate in making all of that happen?
I wouldn't say I participated in building the kitchen. I participate in making the food.
Okay. And speaking of making food, every year this organization has a new product. And in previous years, there have been things like, for example, agave ketchup. And I'd like to, before moving on to this year's project, hear about the agave ketchup, because that's a very creative combination. Were either of you two involved with Boys Grow the year that came out?
I was not.
No.
So, John, why don't you tell us about the agave ketchup?
I was involved that year. It was so our product line. So yeah. So every class comes up with a class product. They have to come up with the recipe, the marketing, the distribution. So they're kind of involved with every aspect of it, and that's kind of the backbone of the entrepreneur side of what we're doing. And it was the 2012 class, and we were kicking around ideas. And at this point, it was to be our second product, and we were kind of thinking, okay, that our product line should have a healthy element to it, just something a little bit healthier than what's out there. So the boys were asking, we were trying to kick it around, what's in ketchup, and then we started researching it, and you know, it's like a quarter to a third just sugar, and I didn't know that at that time. So, and the boys are actually legitimately kind of grossed out by that. when you look at a thing of Heinz, you're like, oh wow, that's like, it's a third sugar. Like, doesn't that just blows you away?
That is a lot of sugar.
It's a lot of sugar. And I like sugar, but I like cheesecake, you know? So the boys we kicked around like a different alternative to sugar. And that's where the idea of agave came through. And after a lot of trial and error in the kitchen, working with the actual recipe, we came upon the 2012 agave ketchup masterpiece.
Any test batches along the way that you'd rather forget?
Yeah, we had one cinnamon ketchup that was
that does sound kind of bad.
Yeah,
I'll admit it
wasn't good.
Well, I'm glad you landed on agave. And so this year you've got avocado hot sauce that's going to be coming out when?
This week.
So that's a very exciting moment for you guys. And I've got a bottle of it here. The boys have brought me some sautéed kale and farm fresh eggs to enjoy with a taste of hot sauce. But first, to whet the appetite a bit, Alex, why don't you start by telling me about your experience being involved with coming up with this idea?
That's mainly Lou.
Lou. Okay. Year. Lou, please.
Well, I actually started with, I wanted to have all the boys get into a hot sauce. I wanted to stick with the hot sauce because they wanted to have a spinach dip. But I was like, oh, we can stick with the sauce for one more year. And
because you've done sauces before.
Yes. And we were just like, oh, we got the hang of it. There, it's a sauce. We know, well, we have people that know how to do sauce. And
stick with what you know.
Yeah. So we were like that. I just wanted to be just like the same, not really following them, but just keep it going. And that's what I hope Alex in their class does, and just sticks with a sauce or try something else new.
How do you guys come to a decision together when different people want to do different things?
We go through the marketing analysis. And so we see, like, if they wanted a spinach dip, what are the pros and cons of it, and seeing how, if it would sell good, better than a sauce.
Well, avocado and hot sauce are both things I like a lot. I'm not sure that I've had them together in one bottle before. That seems like quite an idea. Can you tell me how that idea came about?
Yeah, we all came up with, I came up with the idea with the hot sauce. And they were like, yeah, we can try hot sauce. And we all of us agreed on hot sauce. And then we were like, what kind of hot sauce? There's many types of hot sauce that we can make. We can make a hot sauce, or just a mild, or just something extremely hot, or just different type, like something outrageous. So we just came up with ideas and just throwing stuff around. And then someone came up with the idea of an avocado, and we researched it, and there weren't really anything, there wasn't anything like it. So we were like, oh, this is cool. People might want to try something new. So we tried it, and then there was a lot of tasting and a lot of just batches that we made, and it turned out pretty well, I guess, now, since we have it
in a bottle.
Yeah.
Well, and I have a question about this, too. Do you grow all of the ingredients locally here on your farm?
We grow some of it, but not all.
Because I was wondering that about avocado. Is avocado something you can grow here in Kansas City?
No. We have green thumbs, but not magical green thumbs.
I kind of didn't think so. Oh, but so what are the other ingredients in here that you guys did grow?
Jalapenos.
Yeah,
that's the main thing we provide in there.
Have a lot of jalapenos in there.
Have you guys been directly involved in growing jalapenos on the farm?
Yeah.
We have a few beds of jalapenos out there.
Tell us a few little tricks for growing those for listeners who might want to be inspired by you.
Lou?
You got to keep your hands dirty. That's the one thing that you're going to do. It's just your hands are going to get muddy and dirty. So
So clean hands won't grow hot peppers?
No.
Good to know.
But after you pick the hot peppers, it's important to have clean hands after that.
Yeah.
Okay, so you guys, I'm going to try this. I'm going to try not to chew onto the microphone. So maybe you can tell our listeners about the sautéed kale that I'm about to taste this hot sauce on while I am trying the hot sauce.
Well, I can explain that. The culinary crew has been using kale a lot because we have lots of kale with us. We experiment with the kale with, you know, burgers or salads, mainly salads, but the boys love it. We use it a lot in a lot of our meals during our lunch day.
Did you just say boys love kale?
Yeah, you wouldn't believe it, would you?
Well, I believe it because you're telling me. But okay, so I have to say this. This hot sauce really, I enjoyed it, and it's not too hot. I just ate it on some kale that these boys grew.
That's what we try to stick with not a too hot or not a too mild. We just wanted something in a base of in the middle of that, so we wouldn't just have someone like, my mouth is hot.
Well, and sometimes too hot of a hot sauce just covers up the taste of whatever else you're eating.
And that's what we went through talking about a hot sauce, and we were all coming up with ideas about, this is what could go inside the hot sauce, or this makes the hot sauce too hot, or this makes it too mild.
It sounds like a science experiment almost. How much experimentation did you do?
We did a lot. It was just really a lot. We just had some batches over here that were good, some over there that were just plain out disgusting.
I don't mean to dwell on the failures, but can we talk about a disgusting one?
Yeah, we had one that were that was just it looked weird. It was like really light green. It was just it was like a sour type.
Do you know what the ingredient was? What was the culprit? What made it kind of gross? Could you figure that out?
There was one, I think we had cloves in it.
Yeah.
There was a couple of spices that just went wrong.
A few good spices gone bad.
Yes. And then we had a too hot one. We had too much. We have bird's eye chili powder in there. And they put a lot of that inside and that just burnt your mouth.
What do you guys recommend eating the avocado hot sauce on other than what you have brought here today? So we've got the kale and we've got the farm fresh eggs. What are some other good things to eat with this avocado hot sauce?
You could put it with anything that you would want that looked appetizing with you. Yeah, I mean, you eat with your eyes. So if you put it on something like duck, for instance, I don't think you'd eat that, but if you took a piece of it, maybe you'd like it or maybe you wouldn't.
Well said, Alex. Well said.
I have a question for you, John Gordon Jr., as these guys' mentor. There's a book that I actually just happened to start reading by coincidence. It's called Shop Classes Soulcraft, An Inquiry into the Value of Work. And it's about how shop classes have been eliminated from a lot of American high schools since the 1990s. And there's a generation of kids who, according to that author, who know a lot but can't, quote, do anything. He talks about like this reduced emphasis on manual skill and competence, working with your own hands. Do you see yourself filling a gap in that sense?
Okay, so I'm not anti-education by no means. Sometimes it comes across like that. It's just the value of doing something and finishing that task and having something that you physically created or you physically were a part of is extremely valuable. And it's also a learning process, but it's also a confidence thing. So, you know, when you pass a biology class, you know, it's great. But when you actually create something that you can tangibly hold on to, that's just as important. And it's going to help you pass that next biology class.
Well, we are going to be back to this conversation about all the skills these boys are learning in agriculture and culinary crafts when we come back from this break. I'm Gina Kaufman. You're listening to Central Standard. Good morning and welcome back to Central Standard. We're talking today in the studio about Boys Grow. I'm Gina Kaufman and I'll get right back to our guests in the studio. But listeners, we want to hear from you. What do you think are the most important lessons farming can teach? Do you think it's important for today's young people to connect with agriculture? Why or why not? Give us a call at 816-235-2888 to join the conversation. That number again is 816-235-2888. And right before we went to break, Alex Kimball, you were talking a little bit about how you eat with your eyes and how you pair foods and how you create a plate of food that you are going to like. Can you tell us a little bit more about your thoughts on that as you've worked in the culinary program through Boys Grow?
Yes, I can, actually. Me and the culinary crew and my chef, we cook a lot. And we look at something, some of our guys will look at it, and we're like, what is that? That doesn't even look good at all. So we'll have to put some spices in and just to make it look good, but you always have to taste test. You can't always make accusations by the looks. So that's what my chef always told me to do.
When you say your chef, who are you talking about?
Oh, Max. Max is my chef. I've learned a lot from him. He's a good coach, I guess
so
you could say.
You work with the boys in the program. You work with local chefs to learn how to do this on a really high level, it sounds like.
Yes. Actually, Max is trying to bring in other chefs to come teach us some other skills that we would like to, you know, learn so that we can get better at cooking and learning how to cook. Being a chef is a very big opportunity for me. I like to cook. Cook is just a good thing for me.
Are there skills that you're learning in the kitchen that you think you'll use in other settings?
Yes. Most definitely. I always cook at my mom's house. We cook a lot. I cook a lot of eggs. Eggs is like my specialty.
Let's talk about eggs, because I do have a plate of your eggs in front of me. And these are from chickens on your farm?
Eggs from our chickens, yes.
Tell me, okay, so let's, if we're going to talk about the eggs on the plate, let's start from the beginning with the chicken. I'm not going to assert too confidently that the chicken came first, but do you guys work with the chickens?
Yeah, I do. I work with the animals.
Do you like working with chickens?
Yeah. Unless they peck my shoes or anything like that.
At first, they were scared and they didn't really know, like, any better of, like, how to, if they wanted to be picked up. They were, like, really scared of us, but then they got out. Like, at first they would stay up inside the barn or whatever.
Chicken coop.
Yeah, inside the chicken coop, and they would just stay there, and now they're going around eating, eating...
Anything.
Yeah, basically.
Were you scared of them at first?
No, because we had chickens last year, and they say chickens... A chicken is just like a regular animal, like a pet animal, as in a dog or a cat.
What do you think, Alex? Were you intimidated by the chickens at first?
No, until they try to eat my stuff.
So tell me a little bit about what you do to take care of the chickens.
Well, we actually have a group of people that actually work with the animals. We feed them, obviously, unless we don't want them to die. We feed them, we water them, get water for them. The chickens are a big priority, and we help out the goats. Those two are, they're the main animals that are on the farm.
And do you gather the eggs yourself, too?
Yes, they lay eggs all around the farm. Like, they'll lay in where the eggs or where the goats sleep. They'll lay them there. They'll lay them in the chicken coop. They'll lay it all over the place.
And with that, sometimes, like last year, they would just go in random places and lay eggs. Like last year, I found a really huge egg under a pile of metal. I don't know how the chicken got there, because it's like just all closed in.
Urban farming.
And they were just there.
Is it different for you to eat an egg that you know was raised by a chicken on the farm where you worked? Is that a different kind of meal to eat?
No, not really.
It's very different to me, because eating something that was artificially made instead of something that just came right out the bum, it's a very big difference on what you eat.
John, is there a nutritional component to your mission, or is that sort of a secondary bonus to you?
There's a lot of things that are primary and very thoughtful and deliberate, but you know, if you force feed someone kale, it's probably not going to work. But as Alex and Lou can attest to, they actually like kale now, so you know, kind of just put it out there and see if they like it. And everything we make on the farm is legit and it's good and it's real, and I think it's going well.
There are a lot of skills that people might not expect to learn when they go and work on a farm. I have just the tiniest bit of experience doing that. And the thing that surprised me the most was the skills that you use that you don't necessarily associate with farming, like electrical skills or repairing a hose, just a lot of little details. And in fact, the business side of things. You teach a lot of entrepreneurship.
Mm-hmm.
Talk about that a little bit. How do you train these boys? They've talked about doing market analysis on their hot sauce to figure out what kind of sauce they were going to make. I mean, these are pretty specific kinds of skills. How do you teach them?
Yeah, I mean, when these guys get hired, we're very, very upfront about, if you just think you're going to sign up for the program and spend 2 years with your head down digging in the dirt, that's not going to work. So there's a pretty high expectation for what these guys are going to do, and one of them is what they're doing today, which is actually, you know, speaking in public, which even though it's on the radio, it's still still probably 6 million people listening right now.
I hope so.
Yeah. So which isn't easy. So these guys are doing public speaking. As far as the business side, in the off season, which would be when they're in school, that's when they come up with the actual product. So we do kind of a business class with Lou's class with the avocado hot sauce. They got to go through. We did the market analysis. They did a variety of different things. We brought in consultants, if you will, people that would have been around the business and maybe not specifically the food business, but other businesses, and they kind of kick around the ideas with the boys. So the boys actually get to meet other people outside of just our staff, work with professionals that are doing this in the real world.
Have either of you guys had an idea that you were really passionate about and other people were giving you some resistance or pushback? They didn't agree with your idea. Did you ever have to deal with that along the way?
Yeah, sometimes. But more than likely, the person that I was working with was from John Deere. And he said, everything that you come up with isn't always wrong. So we can find a right way to what would be wrong if you consider it.
So he took the idea that maybe didn't seem like the right idea at first and helped turn that into the right idea instead of saying no.
Yeah, and that's what we were going through and talking about with, you can just say what it was and then we can just see if that's wrong or right. But everything that he said that he told us to say was right.
Well, what do you envision yourself doing with this stuff later? Do you want to start your own business other than your lawn growing business? What do you want to do when you grow up?
Well, I wanted to be in the military and do something like that around there.
I thought you were going to continue with Lou's Lawn and Grass, Lou.
I could continue. I mean,
we're going to create the Lou's Lawn Empire. Right?
Yeah.
Okay. Right.
And what about you, Alex?
Since I'm going into culinary, I really wanted to open up a restaurant that specialized in spices. So I guess you could call it a store within a restaurant. So
a restaurant and spice shop kind of thing.
Yes.
That's cool. Do you want to do that in Kansas City?
Yeah. It'd be very interesting to do it in Kansas City. Yeah, I think it'd be very well known, obviously, with going with Boys Grill. It's pretty out there now.
And so what are some of the skills that you think that what are you trying to learn in your time with Boys Grow to help you do that? What are some of the things where you think you still need work and still need more information?
Learning how to put on spices. Like, I need to learn the right spice so that I don't put on a weird spice and people don't like it.
Well, and so as part of this business preparation, what do you think, you've mentioned that your expectation is that these boys someday become entrepreneurs. What do you think it is about being an entrepreneur rather than just signing up to work for someone else that's a special skill that's important for more people to have?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a trait and a skill that seems to be coming back quite a bit in the last 10, 15 years in the U.S., but it seemed like it was kind of a trifle with big businesses and people just kind of falling into place at times where, you know, if that's the case, if these guys go work for, you know, someone else, that's completely fine. But all the skills and everything they've learned with us is huge. But having the ability to actually kind of think through what it might take to open a restaurant or what it would really take for Lou to not push the mower himself, but to have 100 people push the mowers. What's that mean? You know? So, I mean, Lou's learned about the marketing and the branding and what that means. And he knows about that. You know, he said personally that he needs to work on his logo for his lawn care business because he didn't like it. So he knows the power of a logo.
Lou, when you go back to your neighborhood, coming back from the farm from a hard day of work, and you go back to your buddy who's got the lawn care business that you do things with, when you come back and talk to him about the things that you learn in this program, how does he respond? Is he excited about this stuff too?
Well, he at the time, well, right now still, he's older than me, and we were just there hanging out and with some other friends too, but... And then we were just, I don't know, it's just like long ago, and it's just knowing that I have a business now, and he's on his own. He's older, and he's grown now. So
you guys mow lawns separately. But when you talk to your friends about what you do in Boys Grow, people who don't go out to a farm and who don't do the stuff you do out there, when you come back and talk about it, how do they respond?
They actually, like, I have people that are saying, how do I apply for Boys Grow, or how, what does it feel like working on a farm? Or it's just a lot of things that just people want to know about Boys Grow and how they want to be with Boys Grow after telling them about my experience.
What about you, Alex? Do you talk to your friends who don't go out to the farm about what you do on the farm?
Actually, yeah, sometimes they ask me, like, what am I doing every day because I can't come outside. Well, I'm working. Where are you working at? You're only 14 years old. I was like, well, I'm working for a company named Boys Grow. We specialize in agriculture. He's like, oh, well, that sounds very interesting. I think I might, go for that.
You know, something that we do hear a lot about these days is how hard it is for teenagers to find summer jobs. Do your other friends have jobs?
No, they do not. They all usually stay home. Some are at summer school, and sometimes they're all just at home.
Do they seem to, like, see what you go out and do when you go to work as a good thing, a thing that's fun, or is it like, oh man, poor Alex, he has to work?
Maybe. They haven't really told me about it. I really hope that they think, wow, that's pretty lucky for him. He actually has a job. I was not employed for like a month, obviously, but then they see that what I'm doing, and they should say, wow, that's pretty a good opportunity for Alex. He's actually making something happen.
And like with people in my community, they're like, oh, I want a job, I need money or something like that just to go have fun. I tell them it's not really about just going to get a job and having money for yourself. It's, you really are actually learning something with Boys Grow and not just having money for yourself and doing other stuff, but you're actually learning something rather than just getting money and, oh, I can do this now and I can do that. But you know more, and it's like another, it's like school. And we have classes every Monday going over about the soil, water, and the different things just about being a farmer, just about life, basically.
Well, Lou, you know, what is the hardest thing you've had to do on the farm? Tell me about your hardest day.
Well, it was a hot day, and we were in the fields with the weeds, and we were just pulling weeds and hula-hoeing for.
I think Alex might remember this day.
That was Raul Delgado's favorite day.
Well, so tell me more about the day. It's really hot. You're pulling weeds.
Yeah, and we were using a hoe to get all the weeds out, and we were just like dead in the field, just trying to get our best, just to get every speck out.
On a day like that, what do you think to yourself? How do you keep yourself motivated to get through to the end of the day?
I'm actually working, and some people are grown, and they don't have a job, and I'm lucky to have a job at the age of 13, and so it just motivates me just saying, wow, it's very interesting.
So you try to see it as a privilege?
Mm-hmm.
And what about you, Alex? Tell me about your hardest day.
Pretty much the same thing. We're out hula-hoeing, pulling weeds out. We were out all day until like 2 o'clock, not 2 o'clock, 1:30. Then we had to leave, had to wrap it up. I was just like, thank God.
Jeez. Do you, in moments like that, do you ever feel tempted to quit, to give up? You've made a commitment to Boys Grow, but have there ever been moments where you're like, this is just too hard?
No, never. I'm not really a quitter like that. I made a commitment to do this. I knew this was going to happen. I'm going to be working hot days, and it's going to be muddy sometimes, so get used to it.
So, John, do you select boys who already have this kind of attitude, or is that something that they learn in the program?
No. I mean, they learn as they go. I mean, I think one thing Lou is still working on learning is not to play Xbox too late the night before. Sometimes that gets in the way. But
there are some adults who haven't learned that lesson either.
Yeah, we're still working on that one. But no, they're all selected. You know, it's you know, we only take in 14 kids. Usually we get between 40 and 50 applications. So it's not easy to go through and select which kids, and it's difficult. And at the end of the day, we try to pick kids that are, you know, Alex got hired because he wants to be a cook. And we have Max Watson now, who's a legitimate cook, who's on staff. And the stuff he's teaching Alex and his culinary team is just amazing. So, and, you know, Lou in particular, you know, I think we brought Lou on board because he had just a strong entrepreneurial kind of backbone. And during his application, these guys, you know, they apply for the job, they get interviewed. So, you know, Lou, we brought Lou in to kind of take up the entrepreneur side, Lou, if you will.
How do you identify a strong entrepreneurial background in a – he's 13 now, so he must have been 12 at the time.
Yeah, we do that. We give him a pen. We tell him to sell us the pen. No, I'm joking. There's an application, you know, and on it. Just there's a variety of questions. And you know, we don't – I mean, they're 13, 14 years old. They're coming in. We don't – if they know what entrepreneurism, that's cool. That's fine, you know. But on the application, there's leading questions that might say, you know, are you interested in starting a business, et cetera, et cetera.
Well, so, Alex, you want to be a chef and you want to have a restaurant someday. Before Boys Grow, had you been in a professional kitchen and seen what a professional chef does?
No, I was not. I was always with my mom. She – taught me most of the things that I know.
What was it like for you the first time that you walked in and had a professional chef showing you what to do? Did you learn anything on that very first day that just blew your mind?
Cleaning is a huge thing to do. It's a very hard thing to do, but it needs to be done. So execution is a huge thing also. You need to execute with everything you do, and you need to take pride in what you make.
It sounds like the culinary part of it was always your interest. Has the growing food aspect of the program changed any of your ideas about what it means to work with food?
It could a little. Later on in the road, it could change a little.
Well, speaking also of, we've got the avocado hot sauce in front of us that's coming out this week, and are the boys involved in selling the product to stores, to vendors?
Yeah. I mean, you know, the idea here is that they're not coming in just to an oiled machine where they just come out of a product and they just, you know, kick it out the conveyor belt and it's a done deal. So they're in charge in all the marketing and some of the distribution too. We're going to go deliver after here to get all the stores stocked up and everything. But they'll be out probably not this Saturday, but the following Saturday at about 5 or 6 different locations actually selling and demoing the product at the stores.
And so what do the boys do exactly to make these deals go down?
To actually sell to the grocery stores?
Yeah.
Well, we just came from the Kauffman Foundation just a second ago, and we had talked to one of the chefs before about potentially using the ketchup as their house ketchup as opposed to the Heinz. So we went in there, and shirts were tucked in. We were looking sharp, and we did a sales call, and I think we sealed the deal.
So, Lou, you're the one with the entrepreneurial background, as we've been saying. You already came with a certain personality that's maybe right for this, but what are some of the things that you've had to learn to do that you wouldn't have thought of on your own? Talk about maybe the meeting you just had. What are some of the things you did there?
Well, actually, I really didn't go for the SWOT analysis because it's just a thing, like, you should already know, well, that I knew about cutting grass and mowing lawns and stuff like that. So I was just already knowing what are pros and cons about mowing lawns and what's bad for with the lawn and stuff. And so it's just a working process that you would have to do.
Well, what about selling the hot sauce or your ketchup to a chef or a grocery store? The big things that you try to keep in mind when you're doing that?
That this product is actually a product that you can hold in your hand. It is actually good and it tastes well. Not saying none of the other sauces out there are bad or anything, but it's just knowing that you made it and you should actually go for the sale and try as much as possible to have to sell your product.
And Alex, what about you? Are you learning that side of things too? You're going to have to do that when you have a restaurant, sell sell things, make the menu look enticing. What are you learning as far as marketing goes?
That whenever I hold up a vegetable and I pull it out of the dirt, I'm saying that this is going to be part of our product. We're, this is a huge thing. The culinary part of the program is a very, very huge part of this profit. Cooking is just a huge thing. The sauce, marketing is also a huge part also. Can't really do anything without that. But the cooking and just the landscaping crew, they help out a lot also.
And John, looking forward, I mean, you have talked a little bit about your early ideas about why you wanted to do this and what it would mean to you. What has maybe surprised you about working with the actual boys, about having this become a reality? Anything that you didn't anticipate?
You know, it was kind of a belief or a theory that our young guys were more capable than we give them credit for. And I would say 95% of the time that's true, where, you know, in the morning time, we do a bucket check. All the boys are lined up. We got 24 kids lined up, and then we got six staff, and then everyone's broken off for the first hour into their tasks. So the chicken and the goat crew will run off and water the chicken and the goats. And then the construction crew, and everyone breaks off into their teams. And it continually surprises me about how these guys are able to actually stay on task at that age. I'm not sure if I had that at your age.
Are you, and as far as the products from Boys Grow themselves, how are they doing? How are they doing out there?
They're doing good. I mean, they're great products. We're looking to expand the product line or get more locations. But they're good products. They sell well.
Is the idea part of what helps sell them? Do people like knowing the story of these boys working and developing these recipes, growing the ingredients?
Oh yeah, oh yeah. I mean, we're a nonprofit. We're not a social enterprise. But the reality is, the stores that sell the best are the ones that the actual employees kind of tell the story of who we are and what we're doing.
Well, that's all the time we have for today's conversation about Boys Grow and its brand new plot of land near Grandview, as well as all of the ingredients and products that come off that farm. Thanks so much to John Gordon Jr., Lou Rivers, and Alex Kimball for being here. To listen back to today's show or any previous conversations on Central Standard, just go to kcur.org/centralstandard. You can also follow us on Twitter. Our handle is @kcurcst. Tune in tomorrow for a bit of synesthesia. We'll be pairing local music with new and exciting drinks concocted by local bartenders. Central Standard is produced by Matthew Long Middleton and Sylvia Maria Gross. I'm Gina Kaufman. That's it for today's show with Boys Grow and the people who work hard on that farm. But stick around for Up to Date coming up next.